Blog Talk Radio.
You are my protector, and you are my provider, and my deliverer. There's no other help I know. You are my protector, and
Stevie B's Media Production presents What a Word from the Lord radio show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler. This radio show is dedicated to spreading the truth of God's word, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we're grateful that you are tuning into our radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by loving and faithful members of the Churches of Christ. We'll ask you to take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. If you'd like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, give me a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. Or you can send me your email if you have any questions or comments from my guests or my co-host. Send me your emails to butlersteve1009@yahoo.com, or you can give me a call at the Carolina studio at 910-491-6405. Now again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ. If you need any assistance locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on What a Word from the Lord radio show. Y'all in the world listening to this radio broadcast. Stevie B's Media Production presents What a Word from the Lord radio show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler. And this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just grateful for the privilege to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask you to bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and we're prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray that you'll be my special guest speaker, Ben Estes, on the broadcast and my co-host, Edward Bishop, on the show this evening as they break unto us the bread of life. And also, we pray, Father, that you would bless our listeners who are tuning in to this broadcast this evening. We pray that they may listen well and that they may consider their eternal stance before you and their hearts may be pricked. And it will cause them to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are so grateful for his precious sacrifice on Calvary's cross. For without such a sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now we ask that you would forgive us for the transgressions of our own heart. We know that our flesh is weak and we often fall short of your will. Father, we pray you'll continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful unto death, Father, we pray that you would save us. For it's in Christ's name we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into our radio broadcast this evening. In the first segment, my special guest speaker is Ben Estes. He serves with the Mount Zion Church of Christ from Savannah, Tennessee. This is Ben's first time being on the show, and we'd like to welcome him to the broadcast. We certainly look forward to hearing a word from Ben on the show this evening. And my co-host, Edward Bishop, he serves with the Niagara Falls Church of Christ there in Niagara Falls, New York. He will be bringing us a lesson to close out the show. So open up your Bibles now and open your minds and let's have a great show. After the break, the next voice you hear will be that of my co-host, Ben Estes. Enjoy the show.
When God says no, and we won't insist to the end, then
just remember,
don't forget,
Father knows,
Father knows
what's best. I remember,
God
knows what's best.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, my God,
He knows
what's
best.
Late in the midnight hour, I was crying and all alone, waiting for an answer. My hope's gone. I even called on my best friend, and she could not be found. Lord, you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, where are you now? So I went to church the next Sunday morning, looking for my breakthrough. I knew a change would come if I just hold on, 'cause God's word is true. But then the preacher said something, and it took me by surprise. Sometimes God says no, but just like Job, you gotta trust him, my child. When God says no, but when the preacher said it,
and
I didn't quite understand it. He said, don't forget, just trust your Father,
because
He knows what's best. When I lay awake in the middle of the night, with tears streaming from my eyes, I remember, Father knows, no matter what you're going through, because
He knows,
Father knows. Started to feel a little better, 'cause He started talking about my Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and how He prayed to the Father, let this cup pass from me. Then He did just like me, y'all. Said He went to His best friend and his friends let him down. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you now? You see, sometimes God is moving and we don't understand. See, Jesus paid the cost when we were lost, and it was all a part of God's master plan. So when you're waiting for that answer and God says no to you, just go ahead and shout,
hey,
and have no doubt,
I'll trust your
that the Father knows
hey,
more than you. When God says no, 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 no.
See,
it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. That's why I'm trusting in your Father. So when I prayed for that job, and I never get the call.
And I never get the call.
And you prayed
yes,
for that sick loved one, and they've gone on to that eternal
home.
And when you cried and you prayed and you cried and you feel there's
nothing left,
just put it in the hands of the Father. And remember, no matter what it is or what it looks like, God, he knows. Yes,
he knows what's there.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. Now my special guest speaker, Ben Estes, and his subject, Be Ye Transformed.
Thank you, Brother Stevie, and I'm so excited to be with you on this program this evening. If you have your Bibles handy, I would ask that at this time you turn to the 12th chapter of Paul's epistle to the Romans. In this passage, Paul makes the following plea regarding the transforming of our lives. The passage reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As we consider this text, several questions come to mind. What does it mean to be transformed? What is the goal of transformation? What should motivate us to undergo transformation? And what does one do in order to experience transformation? Starting with the first question, what does it mean to be transformed? Let's consider first the definition of transformation. The Greek word for transformation is metamorpho, which literally means to change into another form, from which we get the word metamorphosis, used to describe a change of form. For an example, when a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. In the New Testament, this word is used to describe what happened to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew 17:1-2 states, And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up to a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as the light. So, what is to happen to Christians in their service to God? We read this in our text earlier. The idea commanded by Paul is this. Christians are to undergo a complete change, which under the power of God will find expression in character and conduct. The example being who we are, that being like caterpillars who are about to become butterflies. Note that Paul uses the passive voice indicating that transformation is something we allow to be done to us, not something we do by our own power alone. Rather, we submit to God's power, and by His grace, we are changed into another form. We, in fact, become a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 states, Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. But this leads to our second question. What are the goals of transformation? Goal number one, of course, is to become like Christ, as expressed by Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face beholding us a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. This was predestined by God, according to Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The purpose of being a disciple is to become like the teacher. Luke 6 and verse 40 states, the disciple is not above his teachers, but everyone, when he is perfected, shall be as his teacher. The goal of Christian living, according to Colossians 3, 5 through 10, is this. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil, desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things make cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience, wherein ye also once walked. When ye lived in these things, but now do ye also put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth, lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his doings, and have put on the new man, that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. Goal number two is to live like Christ, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Is this not what Jesus did on the earth? Hebrews 10, 3-5 states, but in these sacrifices there is a remembrance made of sins year by year, for it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body didst thou prepare for me. So we are able to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. Again, we see in Romans 12 and verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. To prove that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. Was this not what Jesus sought to do on earth? John 6:38 says, for I come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. So we are to demonstrate that God's will is right. We see again in Romans 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Such is the goal of being transformed. Indeed, it is the goal of being a Christian. Yet why do many experience the transformation God offers? Why do many never experience it? Why do they remain caterpillars? Perhaps they lack the proper motivation. Motivation can come in many forms. For example, the mercies of God. In our text, Paul appealed to transformation based on God's mercies, as we see in Romans 12 and verse 1. What mercies of God had Paul discussed earlier in his epistle? We see freedom from sin in Romans 6:16 through 18, the gift of eternal life, Romans 6:23, peace with God, Romans 5 and verse 1, access to the grace of God, Romans 5 and verse 2, and saved from the wrath of God, Romans 5 and verse 9. Should not God's mercy move us to repent and seek transformation? Romans 2, 4, and 5 states, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to thee to repentance. But after thy hardness and impotent heart, treasurest up for thyself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Motivation number two is, of course, the love of Christ. Elsewhere, Paul revealed the motivating power of the love of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15 states, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that one died for all. Therefore all died, and he died for all, that they live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him who for their lives died and rose again." Such love compelled him to live for Jesus. We see in Galatians 2:20 that famous passage, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Does not the love of Christ move us to live for him and live like him? The only alternative to being transformed is being conformed to this world. We see this in Romans 12 and verse 1. The word conformed, suskematizo, as used here, is that which is transitory, that which is changeable or unstable. At the most, we can only be a cheap copy if we are conformed. If we are not transformed, we will either be conformed to the world, meaning we act like the world and become like those in the world, in which we will bring shame to the name of Christ. Also, outwardly, we may act like Christians and appear like them, but we will just be a cheap copy, which will eventually reveal its true nature. Is that what we want? To bring shame to the name of Christ? To be plastic Christians? Or to be the real thing? Why not let the mercies of God and the love of Christ motivate us to seek transformation? The process is not as difficult as one might think. In the beginning, remember, transformation is a passive process. We saw in Romans 12 and verse 2, the words "be transformed." We cannot change ourselves, but however, by our own strength, our meritorious works. As Paul vividly illustrated his dilemma prior to his conversion in Romans 7:14 through 24. The fact is, we must submit to God's working on us. It begins when we are baptized into Christ, for there we experience the working of God. Colossians 2:11 through 13 states, "In whom you were also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, in the putting off of the body of the flesh and the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, wherein ye were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead, and you being dead through your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you, I say, did he make alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses." We are spiritually circumcised in baptism. Our sins are removed. We are buried, then raised with Christ. We are made alive with Christ, forgiven of all trespasses. For there we experience the renewal of the Spirit. Titus 3 and verse 5 states, "Not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." We are saved by the mercy of God, involving a washing of generation and a renewing of the Spirit. From there we rise to walk in newness of life, Romans 6:3 through 8. Having been buried with Christ by baptism into his death, having been crucified with Christ that we might be free from sin, having been raised to live with Christ. When joined with faith and repentance, baptism becomes the starting point in which the true transformation can take place. We see this in Mark 16:16 and Acts 2:38. We must also renew our mind. The process of transformation continues as we do so. as indicated in our text, Romans 12 and verse 2, and also Ephesians 4, 20 through 24, which states, "But ye did not learn Christ, if so be that ye heard him and were taught in him, even as truth is in Jesus, that ye put away as concerning your former manner of life, the old man that waxeth corrupt after the lust of deceit, and that ye be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, that after God hath been created in righteousness and holiness of truth." Unless there is a renewing of the mind, any change in our lives will be superficial. Renewing the mind is made possible by where we set our minds. We need to set our minds on things above, Colossians 3, 1 and 2. We need to set our minds on the things of the Spirit, Romans 8 and verse 5. And we need to renew our minds by feeding our minds with the Word of God, by prayer, fellowship, worship, etc., Acts 2:42. With our minds renewed, we can experience a true transformation. By putting off the old man and putting on the new man, according to Colossians 3:2 and verses 5 through 10, and by living according to the Spirit, Romans 8 and verse 5 and verse number 13. The process of transformation is really quite simple. So we need to set our minds on things above in order to renew our mind. For example, we need to meditate and contemplate on God and His Word. We need to keep our mind in communication with God in prayer. We need to involve our mind in spiritual worship via the frequent assembling together with the saints. And we need to center our mind on Jesus in the partaking of the Lord's Supper. If we do these things, then our minds will surely be renewed. With renewed minds, it becomes possible to put off the old and put on the new, to put off the old man with its sins and to put on the new man patterned after the example of Christ. Modern studies in self-improvement confirm this. We can become what we think. We can change attitudes and behavior by filling our mind with positive mental images. In our efforts, we are not alone. The fact is, God is at work within us. If Philippians 1 and verse 6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ." Then we go to chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, which states, "So then, my beloved, even as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." So, what hinders many Christians? If it is so easy, why do so many Christians remain as caterpillars? Were they not regenerated at their baptism? Yes. Don't they have the promise of God's help? Yes. The problem is likely a failure to renew their mind. Could the mind be renewed on a starvation diet? For example, being irregular Bible study? Can their mind be on a junk food diet, such as, you know, terrible movies and novels? Why do so many Christians not experience transformation? They become what they think, and much of what they think upon is not becoming of a Christian. They spend more time watching the things of the devil than reading the things of God. Our attitudes and behavior are simply a reflection of what goes into our minds. The fact is, we have been called to be transformed into the image of Christ. We have all the motivation we need. We have God's mercy and the love of Christ. We have the opportunity to start anew by the washing of regeneration. But we must allow our souls to be renewed by setting them on things above. Are we submitting to brain surgery by the great physician? The fact is, God wants to give us a complete makeover. He has provided the means, being the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, to remove the deformity of sin. And He provides the tools, Bible study, prayer, worship, fellowship, to master becoming a new person. Are we making good use of the mercies of God? In light of God's wonderful grace, this is our reasonable service. And shall we not prove to this world that God's will is good and acceptable and perfect? I hope you will. If you have not become a Christian, if you have not become transformed, I pray that you will make the decision to do that today. Thank you, and God bless you. Now back to Brother Stevie.
Thank you. Congregation in need of lending for a building or expansion project? As your partner and advocate, Diversified Financial Network will take the time to understand your unique situation and develop a financing solution that meets your specific needs. It's an exciting time for your congregation, and what you need is a company with expertise in church financing early in the process. Call us today at 1-866-513-6665. Or visit us at www.diversifiedfinancegroup.com.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you would like to have your events and activities announced on this radio broadcast, please contact me at the Carolina Studio at 910-491-6405. I'll send your emails to butlersteve1009@yahoo.com. The Deep River Church of Christ in High Point, North Carolina, is seeking a full-time evangelist. The ideal candidate will be outreach-focused with a desire to win souls and has a keen ability to appeal well to a cross-cultural audience. For a copy of the full job description, visit the homepage of their website at www.deepriverchurchofchrist.org. To apply, send a resume, cover letter, and three professional references to deeprivercoc@triad.com. On September the 26th through the 28th, 2019, there will be a third annual Women's of Excellence Symposium. It will be located at the Colonial Glen Church of Christ, address 7001 Colonial Glen Road, Little Rock, Arkansas, 72204. The theme for the symposium will be The Woman God Sees, and the text is Isaiah 62 and verse 4. All meals will be provided, and for more information, please call 501-444-2514. On September the 14th, Saturday, there will be a Ladies Prayer Warriors of the Churches of Christ Presents Prayerthon. Be a 24-hour prayerthon. You can call anytime during this 24-hour period. The telephone number is 888-889-9677. On September the 29th through October the 3rd, 2019, there will be a 2019 Fall Revival held at the East Chestnut Church of Christ. And that address is 3601 Chestnut Street, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 46803. For more information, please call 260-426-5051. On September the 6th through the 8th, 2019, there'll be a homecoming 2019 at the Metropolitan Church of Christ. And that address is 1250 East 23rd Street, Suite 119 at Carson, Colorado, Carson, California, 907-452035. For more information, please call 310-835-3828. And just a program reminder, Stevie B's Media Production presents, we're airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio. The first Monday of the month, there'll be a special edition show by the Gospel Light Radio Shows. And that show will air from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And Tuesday each week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting the live show, What a Word from the Lord radio show. And each week we'll have special guest speakers from the Brotherhood of the Churches of Christ who will be presenting lessons from the Word of God. Also, we'll have my Community Corner segment. That segment's for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services for our community. And also, my co-host, Edward Bishop, from Niagara Falls, New York, and Mark Skelton from Indianapolis, Indiana will be making their proclamation of the gospel of Christ on this broadcast. And also on Thursday night each week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting the live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show. And I have 8 co-hosts on that show who will be making their proclamation of the gospel of Christ. And each week I have 2 co-hosts on the air with me. I'm also taking questions from my Shout It Out platform on social media, Facebook, that I'll be posing to my co-hosts. And then on Friday night each week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'm hosting a live show, Stevie B's Acapella Gospel Music Blast Radio Show. And I'll be playing the world's greatest acapella gospel music artists on that broadcast. And we also have the Story Glory segment once a month where we're interviewing the artists that we're playing on this show. And we're also debuting new music featuring old music. And we have an upcoming debut of the new album by Straight Company. And as soon as we get a definite date, we'll be informing you about that. And we're also doing the Top 20 Countdown show for the month, each month. And the next Top 20 Countdown show is scheduled for September the 20th. We'll be doing a top 20 countdown show for the month of September. And once a quarter, we're doing a marathon show. Whatever artists that we're featuring on that show will just be for that group, artists for the entire show. And the next scheduled marathon show we have is for October the 25th. We'll be featuring the group Durant out of Nashville, Tennessee. Our on-demand episodes, you can listen to all of my on-demand episodes to my affiliate internet stations on Spotify, on iHeartRadio, on Apple, iTunes, and coming soon to Deezer, and also ACARadio.net, Iowa Radio, and MCCBroadcasting.com, and IBCBroadcasting.com, YouTube, go to my YouTube channel, Stevie R. Butler, a.k.a. Stevie B. You can also go to the Church TV Network on YouTube and see their playlist, Acapella Radio. And you can also go to World of Acapella. I want to give a shout out to my sponsors. I want to show my appreciation to them for sponsoring these radio shows. My sponsor, Sharon Noble, she lives in Chicago, Illinois, and her company is called Organo, and her slogan is a health product for healthier living. And my sponsor, Bethesda Memorial Funeral Directory Crematory Services. Out of DeSoto, Texas. I also want to thank my sponsor, Stanley Phillips. He's the owner of A Touch of Class Apparel in Little Rock, Arkansas. And my sponsor, C.J. Colson. She's with the Eutherapin Health Institute out of Monument, Colorado. Also want to thank my sponsor, Diversified Financial Institute Network, LLC, out of Dallas, Texas, the owner, Mark and Charlotte Carroll. And I want to thank my sponsor, Sharon Mora. She's with the Compassionate Haiti Leaders. And they've been serving Northern Haiti for 20 plus years, and they invite you to become a part of something greater than yourselves. So please visit and donate to Haiti at www.compassionatehaitileaders.faith. The 3 E's of Stevie B's Media Productions, it is the objective of this broadcast. We want to educate, we want to edify, we want to encourage you in a study of God's Word. And you're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. Stay tuned.
I say in my dying hour, I don't want nobody to cry, Lord. All I want you to do for me is just to close my dying eyes. Don't worry about me. Cause I'm bound to pay the debt I owe. Yes, I am bound to pay the debt I owe. And I say it's in my dying hour. I don't want nobody to moan, no.
You don't have to moan.
All I really want you to do for me is just to give that bell a tone. And then don't worry
about me.
Don't
worry,
don't worry
about me,
'cause I'm
bound to pay the debt I owe.
Oh, yes, I am
bound to pay the debt I owe.
And I say it in my dying hour, I don't want nobody sad, no. All I want you to do for me, think about the time we had, think about the good times.
From the Lord radio show. Now my co-host, Edward Bishop, and his subject, I'm Not Ashamed.
I would like to, first of all, once again, take this time out to thank Brother Butler for giving me this opportunity to stand before you on this evening. More importantly, above all, I want to thank the God of heaven for giving me the strength and the ability to be able to stand before you this evening. For to him that we live, we move, and we have our very being. We are because he is. Our amness is simply wrapped up in his isness. Now, having said that, if you have your copy of God's engrafted word, which is able to save our very souls, God's basic instructions before leaving this earth, the book of Romans, chapter 1. Verses 16 through 17. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. That's the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. If you have it, it reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I want to speak briefly as the Spirit shall guide with this thought implanted in our minds. For I am not ashamed. Is that all right? For I am not ashamed. Here is Paul, who in my opinion is the greatest of all the apostles. A man who was shipwrecked on several different occasions. A man who was beaten and bruised for preaching the gospel. A man who was thrown in jail unjustly for preaching the gospel. Paul, even though he suffered much persecution, he still stood firmly rooted in the gospel. There is a lesson for us, because so many of us, that if we were to suffer like Paul suffered, so many of us, we can be honest with ourselves. Let's just be honest. But turn away from Christ. Some of us will say to ourselves, this is just too much. This is more than I bargained for. This is more than I'm willing to go through. I cannot take all of this. And some of us would have did like some of Christ's disciples when they were going through their suffering. So many of them turned away from Christ. And Christ had to ask the rest of the apostles. He said, will you leave me just as the others did? And Peter, I'm so thankful for Peter, the one who always somehow put his foot in his mouth, got it right. He said, for to whom shall we go? For you alone have the words of eternal life. We ought not let nothing or no one turn us around. No matter how much pain, no matter how much suffering we may endure for the cause of Christ, we should have the mindset that Peter had. and say, for to whom, Lord, shall we go? For you alone have the words of eternal life. It is in the words of God, the eternal life can be found. Suffering is going to come. Life challenges are going to come, whether you're a Christian or not. You're going to suffer. But if you are going to suffer, that's why the Bible tells us that if any man suffers, let him suffer as a Christian. Because when you suffer as a Christian, at least you have the help and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You have the guidance and the assurance that God is going to bring you through. And not alone, just having the assurance that just as money is green, just as water is wet, just as sure as sugar is sweet. If you stand firm and stand still on the gospel, that no matter what sufferings and problems you may be going through, that God will bring you through. That is the surety that we have from the Word of God. The gospel of Christ is the only power of God unto salvation. It is the only way we can be saved. We cannot be saved by saying the sinner's prayer. You and I cannot be saved by putting our hands on the radio. You and I cannot be saved by putting our hands on the television. You and I cannot be saved by beating on our chest and saying, Lord, come into my heart. It does not work like that. The Bible tells us that the power of God unto salvation, the only power of God unto salvation, the true power of God unto salvation, can and only will be found in the gospel. So if you want to learn how to have faith, it's in the gospel. If you want to learn about all things that pertain to life and to godliness, it's found in the gospel. If you want to learn how you can have peace that surpasses all understanding when you're going through your trials and your tribulations, it can only be found in the gospel. If you want to learn how you and I can have joy that's unspeakable, it can only be found in the gospel. If you want to know how you can be justified, just as if you and I have never sinned, the answer can only be found and is found in the gospel. If you want to know how you can combat Satan and all of his schemes, the answer can only and is only found in the gospel. If you want to learn how to have true faith, it can only be found in the gospel. Because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17 that faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. If you want to learn how to be pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God, it's found in the gospel. If you want to learn how to bear much fruit, the answer is found in the gospel. If you want to learn how you can have joy 365 days a year, it's found in the gospel. If you want to learn how to treat your enemies right when they mistreat you, it's found in the gospel. Everything you and I need to know that pertains to life and to godliness can be found in the gospel. If you want to learn how to raise your kids, it's found in the gospel. If you want to learn how to be a good wife and a good husband, it's found in the gospel. If you want to know how to be a good father and a good mother, it's found in the gospel. If you want to learn children, teenagers, how you can be found pleasing and acceptable in the sight of your parents and in the sight of God, is found in the gospel. That is why you and I should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because everything we need is found in the gospel. You and I should not be ashamed of the gospel, because it is by the gospel which you and I will be judged by. We should not be ashamed of the gospel, because Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21. For not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. And it's going to be those on that day that's going to stand before God and say, God, have we not done many wonderful works? Have we not cast out demons? And he's going to profess unto them, depart from me, I never knew you, ye that practice lawlessness. You do these things, but you do not do them according to the rules and to the rules and the knowledge of God. You may have a zeal for God, but it may not be according to the knowledge of God. And it's God's word, according to John, the 12th chapter, and verse number 48, that is going to judge us on the last day. You're not going to be judged
I'm not going to be judged based upon how I feel or how I think or how you think. We're going to be judged solely upon the basis of the gospel of Christ. When you stand before God, God's only going to want to know one thing. Are you a saint or are you an ain't? Did you or did you not obey my words? John the 12th chapter, verse 48 says, "For I come into the world not to destroy the world, for he has one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, these words will judge you in the last day." The words that you hear on this evening will come up again on the last day. When you and I stand before God, God's going to say, "Did you or did you not obey my son?" Because it was by him and by his words that I'm going to judge you. Because all power and all authority has been given unto him in heaven and on earth. Christ is the only one who has the authorization and the authority to tell you and to tell me how we can be saved. And if you do any other thing other than obey the gospel of Christ, I'm here to let you know on this evening, with all due respect and with all love, I'm here to let you know that you have done things that are not pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. God told us through his word that God has spoken to us this day by his Son, whom he made the world. That's why he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Christ is the only one that's authorized to tell you and to tell me what we must do in order to be saved. And he has done such through his word, his gospel, the gospel that's going to judge us in the last day. That's why it says in Thessalonians that in flaming fire, he's going to take vengeance upon those who know not God and have not obeyed the gospel of his Son. He tells us the recompense for not obeying the gospel of his Son will be everlasting punishment away from the power and the presence of God. Oh, it's the gospel that we must stand in and stand by, because it is by the gospel, according to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, that we have been saved. That's why we should not be ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. Because it is by the gospel that you and I will be judged. And if anybody had the right to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, it was Paul. Paul had it, as you young folks say today, had it going on. He was all that in the bag of chips with the dip on the side. The Bible tells us that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, he was a Pharisee. That he kept the law far better above his contemporaries. He had the highest education. He was wealthy. He had authority and power. But he said, all these things that I have, he says, I count them but as dung, that I may know Christ in the fellowship of his sufferings. I give it all up that I may partake, be a partaker of Christ. That's why Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me, but not for me only, but for all those who love his appearing. He said, I had a zeal for God, but it was not according to the knowledge of God. But when I had learned about God, he says, I did not hesitate to obey the gospel. He said, I did not confer with man. I went straightway and did what it was that God wanted me to do. I obeyed the gospel of Christ. And now I can have full assurance based upon me obeying the gospel. I can be assured that I am now found pleasing and acceptable in his sight. That's the same way it is with you and with me. If we want to be found pleasing and acceptable in his sight, we have to do it according to the word of God. As I stated earlier, if you want to learn how you can have joy in the midst of your suffering, it's in the gospel. If you want to learn how you can have peace that surpasses all understanding, it's in the gospel. If you want to learn how you can go through your storms and still have that peace and that joy and knowing that no matter what it is, that God will work it all out for your good, but more importantly for his glory, is found in the gospel. If you want to learn how you can be more than a conqueror to him who loved you and gave himself for you, it's found in the gospel. If you want to learn how you can be persuaded that neither death nor height, nor powers, nor things to come can separate you from the love of Christ is found in the gospel. My time is up. I thank you for your time and your attention.
God can.
Oh,
God can.
I don't know what you're going through right now. But I'll admit it, y'all, the struggle is real. And sometimes our faith it gets a little weak.
Yeah.
But over the years, y'all, I've found out we serve a God
He's able.
Able. So we don't have to worry ourselves about it, y'all. So I just keep telling myself these two words: God can, God can, my God. And I know, no. Said I know he could do it for me right now. There's a time in every life. Trouble comes, then we stop and wonder why. Why, man? Especially when you're trying to do the right thing. Can I get a witness? Oh, Lord, yeah. Why this tears and why this pain? My soul is weak, I need some things to change. So I'm calling on you, Lord, Lord.
Then I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to my situation.
Dry your eyes, it's alright. God always supplies your needs. So I put my trust in thee, cause I know you can. Oh, God, but I know you can. He's got all power in his hands. Oh, you gotta trust and believe. You gotta have faith to receive. You gotta know you can, Lord. And even in your darkest hour, when you can't see your way through, see, I know you thought it was over, but I can see the sun creeping through the clouds, and I know he can. Faith, prayer, I know he can. Lord, oh Lord, he can.
Y'all, he can do anything.
Great, unmerited favor. Standing here by God's power.
From the Lord Radio Show. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the part of the broadcast where I want to extend unto you the Lord's invitation. We try to make it a point to do this on every show because we just don't know who is listening to this radio show, and we don't know what your relationship with the Lord is like, even if you have one. So we want to give you an opportunity to establish one in case you do not have a relationship with the God of heaven. And that's what it's all about. If you're not a child of God, and one cannot be a child of God until you are a Christian, until you've been born again, as the Bible teaches, because that's what we are concerned with. What does the Bible teach regarding the subject of salvation? That's why we give you the scriptures in regards to the things that we're saying as we extend the Lord's invitation. And one cannot be a child of God until you are in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, it's not enough to be religious. You must obey the commands of the Lord in order for a man to be saved. Now, listen to me carefully now. In order for a man to be saved, because I'm going to give you book, chapter, and verse for what I'm saying here. You must take heed and answer the gospel call. And this is according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. You must hear the gospel according to John chapter 6 verse 45, Romans chapter 10 verse 14 and 17. And the facts of the gospel are the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 3. You must believe the same, according to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 and James chapter 2 and verse 24. You must repent, according to Luke chapter 13 verses 3 and 5 and Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. You must confess your faith in Christ Jesus, according to Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 10 and Matthew chapter 10 verses 32 and 33. You must be baptized in water for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Acts chapter 10 and verse 48, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. And if you are a Christian, you've not been faithful in your service to God, we would ask that you would decide again by repentance and prayer, according to Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. We want to encourage you now to visit the Church of Christ that's in your area. Amen. And I'll see you on the other side of the break.
Wow. It's so amazing all that you have done for me. Your power and your love is so amazing all that you have done for me. Your power and your love is so amazing all that you have done for me.
Done for me.
From the Lord Radio Show. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for spending a little time with us this evening in a study of God's Word. I want to thank my special guest speaker, Ben Estes. I thought he did a great job in his proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I look forward to having Ben back on the show in the near future. I also want to thank my co-host, Edward Bishop. He always does a great job in his presentation of the gospel of Christ as well. We didn't have any guests in the Community Corner on the show this evening. That's why the show seems to be cut a little short here this evening. But I certainly do appreciate everyone who did participate in the show this evening. Oh, what a blessing it is to be able to come together during the week and study a portion of God's Word. It is my prayer that the lessons this evening have been beneficial to your spiritual lives and your relationship with the Lord has been strengthened because you're not only tuning into this radio broadcast, but you're giving yourself over to a study of God's Word. So until we meet again, I pray God's continual blessings upon your lives and that He bless you real, real good. You've been listening to What a Word from the Lord Radio Show. Good night, everybody. God bless.
I'm gonna keep on climbing this mountain till I reach higher ground.
Can't turn around.
I can't turn around.
Oh, no.
So I ain't gonna stop now.
Anybody out there?
So the storm winds blow.
Having trials and
tribulation.
I just want to encourage you.
Keep moving on.
I need somebody who's been through something. Help me now.
I've had some ups and downs, hard times in my life.
I've had to wipe so many tears from my weeping eyes.
I know the pain will last only for a night.
That's why I'll hold on till the morning light. You see the suffering we're going through, it don't compare. The dread that wait for us all the day. I gotta keep on climbing though sometimes to make it hard. But we ain't gonna stop till we reach the top. The devil tries to make us think there is no way out. Maybe you lost someone that was close to you.
Maybe you're sick and there's nothing you can do.
Oh yeah.
Just keep your eyes to the sky. When times get hard, keep pressing toward the prize.
Oh, you see, I try. They will last for long.
They only make them
so they gotta keep on.
Sometimes, and I don't understand.
I don't understand.
I've been
You've been listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show, episode 133.
Now you.